something going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckers put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get this hour underway. Happy Monday. It's Monday, February 24th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. This hour of Flames Talk, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hi, Vix.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? I'm having a blast over here, by the way. It's great to be back.
Me as well. Now, text line is always open on Flames Talk if you're listening live at 960-960. And I'm really not sure how this topic is going to go over, but I kind of like it anyway. I kind of like this topic. I'll come right out and say it, Vix. The first half of this hour is going to be about the Calgary Flames and Mikko Rantanen. And here is the question that I'm going to pose. Should the Flames, should Craig Conroy, be sniffing around Carolina to see if they can acquire Rantanen before the deadline? I'll give you my reasoning, and I'll flesh it all out for you in a second. But that's the basis of this segment. Should the Flames be sniffing around Carolina? Should they be, in some form or another, interested in acquiring Mikko Rantanen before March 7th? Before I give you my reasoning, here's the latest on Rantanen's situation from Elliot Friedman. This one from the latest 32 Thoughts on Monday, available wherever you get your podcasts. Here's the latest on where things sit with Rantanen and Carolina.
There are teams out there who are saying, we're not so sure we should rush into anything else until we know for certain what's happening with this player. And so I don't want to say that Rantanen is holding up the trade deadline, because I don't believe that's true. But I do think that there are teams who are looking at it and saying, maybe we don't make our biggest move until we know for sure what his situation is. Now, the $100 million, it makes sense, because if you look at 7 times 14, which you would think he'd be the most he could get as an unrestricted free agent, is 98. So it makes a lot of sense for the Hurricanes to make sure they're above that. I'll tell you a couple things. Without knowing exactly what the offer is, I'll tell you a couple things. I don't believe it's 8 times 14, and I don't believe it's in that area. I also don't believe it is 8 times 12.5. I think it's a little bit higher.
So that is just a little bit from Elliot Friedman on the latest 32 Thoughts with Elliot and Kyle Bukauskas. Available for you now wherever you get your podcast. They talk a lot about Ovechkin's chase, Rantanen, and there's a whole lot more on Rantanen as well. But that was kind of the meat or the news part of it. And over the weekend on Saturday, headlines, Friedge basically said teams are inquiring because Rantanen doesn't know if he's going to stay in Carolina. So I asked the question, should the Flames be sniffing around Carolina to see if they can acquire him before the deadline? Now, let me put a couple caveats on it. I believe the Flames will have interest, strong interest in Rantanen if he hits the UFA market this summer, which he is slated to do as of right now. I think there's a strong chance Calgary will be one of the teams ready to put a massive deal on the table. I fully do believe that Rantanen's a guy that they would be willing to put some big money down on and try to lure him in on a 7-year deal in free agency. Obviously, you can't go 8 as an unrestricted free agent. So assuming they knew Rantanen was interested in signing, because otherwise a rental makes no sense. So I want to make sure that before you start raging at me on the text line, like, why would they go get a rental? It would never be that. The only way that you would go and acquire him is if there's a conversation had prior to a deal that basically says, yeah, he'd be interested in signing there, and we can come to an agreement. Let's just figure out what the term and the dollar figure looks like, which is realistic, but not a guarantee. So I guess the more important part of this is, would going and getting a jump on it, if there was interest in him signing here, Would that make interest for, would that make sense rather for the Flames? That is my question. That is how I frame it when I say, should they be sniffing around Carolina and Rantanen over the next 10, 11, 12 days?
Honestly, no. I'm only speaking on my own behalf. If I were in the chair, I just don't love it. A 7 or 8 year deal for a 28-year-old winger commanding somewhere between $12.5 and $14 million isn't what I would be looking for. His deal would take him from age 29 to 35 or 36, essentially. He's a late October birthday. To me, that doesn't fit the core of what you're trying to build here. This, to me, would be a win now move, not part of a retool move. Biggest hang up I have on it maybe isn't even the age, to be perfectly honest with you. It's the fact that he's a winger and not a center. If I'm shelling out that kind of money and those types of assets to acquire Mikko Rantanen, I want him as a center. That said, I understand the idea. He's sixth in NHL scoring since the start of the 21-22 season, 368 points in that span, 159 goals is fifth over that span, and Flames historically have had trouble attracting top flight free agents. So are you really going to pass on one willing to come, one that's literally a top three winger in the game right now? I don't know what the answer to that is, but to me and what I would be trying to build doesn't necessarily include a $14 million winger who's going to be 30 by the time you realistically are going to be competitive, 30, 31, 32, somewhere in there. He doesn't fit what I think the Flames should be doing in terms of roster management and trying to build. Yeah. Now, if this is, I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, but if this is a big brain play to lure Cale Makar back home, boom, tongue in cheek. That's,
I don't know,
that's a running joke.
Why is it going to be tongue in cheek?
Because I don't think
let's bring Cale home.
I don't think the only way to bring Cale Makar to Calgary is to pay Mikko Rantanen $14 million a year for 8 years. The other thing that concerns me about this conversation or idea, what do you have to give up to get him from Carolina? We saw what Carolina gave up to get him from Colorado. Does Calgary have the horses? Do they have a Neches? Do they have... Like, I imagine Carolina's not interested in a futures deal. So what does a win-now deal look like for them that you're sacrificing now? Like, there's a whole, almost every single corner of this conversation, I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't like from a Flames perspective.
I love it, because again.
Now, you can try to convince me otherwise.
No,
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I don't want to try to convince you, because I'm a very big proponent of agreeing to disagree, and it makes for good conversation.
I want to know... I understand having interest in a guy that's a top three at his position that hypothetically would be willing to come to Calgary.
Yeah.
I just don't think it fits anything you're trying to do right now. I really don't.
So,
and this is going to backfire in a week when Mikko Rantanen's a member of the Calgary Flames.
First of all, I don't think it will.
I know.
I don't. The reason why, again, I'm not going and potentially paying a significant price unless I know, and unless Carolina's given permission to say, talk to the agent.
Oh, yeah, you have to have a deal worked out before.
You don't have to have the deal worked out, but you have to have the idea that, yes, he would like to sign here, and an earnest conversation, like kind of similar to the Hannafin situation.
Well, I would need that Hannafin situation where you're in such a spot where you can manipulate the return.
So basically what Hannafin's camp had told Vegas is, if you acquire him, there's no guarantee he's going to sign, but it would be one of the places he's open to signing to. And I honestly believe Hannafin really wanted to go sign in Florida, but he got to Vegas. Kelly McCrimmon rolled out the red carpet, and he ended up signing with the Golden Knights, and now he'll be there potentially for the rest of his NHL career. So it would have to be something like that, where it's like, you know that he's open to signing in Calgary. And you have to have, like, you have to be pretty sure about it. So that is the one non-negotiable condition, is that there has to then be the ability to earnestly and actually work out a contract to extend him. And otherwise, it makes no sense. But if that part, that condition is met, then I'm all for it. Because the opportunity to bring in a player of Mikko Rantanen's caliber, ability, game-breaking ability, these opportunities don't come around very often. And for a rebuilding team, retooling team, what have you, I still think, yeah, you do that. Because he's the type of player that can really start to turn a franchise. And I just, there are few players like him anywhere on the planet. And so if I can get a jump on free agency and I can not only have that extra time, but also that extra year to offer him and not, because again, July 1st, I think the Flames, if he gets there, if he doesn't re-sign in Carolina or doesn't re-sign somewhere else, if he gets traded between now and the deadline, I think the Flames will be one of the really serious offers on the table. And I think there'll be like 10, 11, 12 of them.
Oh, yeah. But to your point,
I think the Flames will have a competitive offer on the table for Rantanen if he gets there. That's just my gut. And so if you can beat the queue and not have to all of a sudden get into a competition with other really good teams and teams that might potentially have more to offer hockey or lifestyle wise than the Flames do, I think there's something to that. So that condition has to be met, but I'm all for them going and chasing Rantanen, period. And if you can get out in front of it, knowing that you've got a good chance of extending him, then honestly, man, I'm all for it. I really am. Because a player like this does not come around very often.
That was going to be the one point that you touched on that I was going to reinforce, is there's going to be 10, 12, 15 teams bidding on Rantanen because a player of his caliber doesn't typically hit free agency. Again, for me, he's a top three center or top three winger in the NHL, top 10 forward in the NHL. I need more than would be open to signing in Calgary for a trade. I would need basically not to the extent of a sign trade.
You need the Mark Stone situation.
I need the, you show up in Calgary, you land on the plane, and before we get you to the hotel, we've got the paperwork signed.
And that's what happened with Mark Stone when he got acquired by Vegas. They didn't have a sign and trade worked out, but he got acquired by Vegas from Ottawa, and like 3 hours later, had a contract.
That's kind of looking for. Well, and even then, I'm not certain I love the idea. Again, I'm not going to walk. I could see the elements where it would make more sense. Like, what would you have to give up? Like, would you need that sort of, okay, well, Mikko Rantanen's not going to sign in Carolina. The only place he's interested in signing right now is Calgary. So you and Calgary work out a deal, and that kind of takes away a lot of the leverage that Carolina would have in a trade where you've only got one destination he'd be willing to go to. You don't have 3, 4, 5 at the deadline where you can drive bids up. But again, if the Flames were 2 years further down the line in what they're trying to accomplish with this retool, I would be a lot more on board with doing this with a 28-year-old winger who will be 29 at the start of next season, essentially. I'm not ready to do it now.
Before we get to the text line, which funny enough has become engaged, I was
a little
right.
Bit.
I was right. It did get the text line going. I wasn't sure, but I had a pretty decent idea.
Okay.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Just gut feelings.
Okay.
Do you think that he re-signs in Carolina?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you think Carolina, because one of the things Elliott said on 32 Thoughts on Monday that I didn't play, but he said there's still an opportunity. There's still the belief is that Carolina hasn't written off. Like, there's no guarantee that they're going to trade him, even if they might just keep him to see if they can win a Stanley Cup. Now, Rantanen has not been great. He's got three points in seven games. But, you know, that was one thing that Elliott said, is that there's a chance, and not a negligible chance, that Carolina might keep him past the deadline, even without a contract signed, might continue to take runs at re-signing him, and might be okay with losing him in free agency. So you don't think Carolina's going to sign him?
I don't think that's the way I look at it. I think that Rantanen won't sign with Carolina. Am I semanticsing you a little bit there? I think Rantanen would be more interested in seeing what the free agent market has on July 1. He owes Carolina nothing, to be perfectly honest with you. He's been there, what, a month and a half, 2 months?
Yeah.
This isn't like he's with Colorado and testing the free agent market, choosing to not re-sign there.
Yeah.
He doesn't have history with this franchise, and it'll cost him a year to find out, because, again, only one team can offer him eight-year term. But if I'm in his situation and I know I'm going to get somewhere close to $100 million on this deal, somewhere between 85 and 100.
Yeah.
I might be willing to forego that 8 years to see if I can literally pick whatever destination I want, because There's going to be no shortage of teams interested.
I feel like this is just my gut. I think he'll stay in Carolina.
Okay.
Past the trade deadline. I'm like 70-30 on him staying in Carolina, which is still a large amount of exposure for potentially trading him. The other part, I'm like 52-48 that he'll re-sign there. And the reason why I'm slightly leaning towards still and very slightly leaning towards re-signing is I still think Aho is a guy that can keep. And I know that they didn't play together at the Four Nations and Finland was junk at the Four Nations and all that type of stuff. But I think Aho and the fact that this team looks like they're going to be a cup contender for a little while. I don't know. I feel like very slightly leaning towards he still signs there. I'm just not convinced it'll happen before March 7th.
My counter to that is I'm sure there's a Finn on a half dozen teams that could pitch the same thing to him that is a contender. I do feel like how this is going to play
out. Well, name them, Vix.
Come on, man. You're killing me over here.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I do think I don't even want to say my expectation. My thought would be, is Carolina keeps him past the deadline, but isn't able to resign. Just because
I'm 52-48, so in my eyes, there's still a good chance of that happening.
I just don't know if there's going to be a team that has the assets to acquire him prior to the deadline that doesn't make the Colorado trade look like a disaster, where it was Natchez, Drury, and what was it? Was there a conditional first in there as well?
There was a first round, but I don't remember exactly.
I just don't know if there's a team willing to move a Natchez type player. It's funny because it kind of just happened with this Colorado Carolina trade, but would move a Natchez type caliber player for a guy that you know is going to end up being a pure rental.
I want to make sure that let's get into the texts, because the texts are.
Plentiful?
By the way, Marty Natchez looks like he was born to play with Nathan McKinnon.
Oh. When they rolled through Calgary here,
oh boy,
what a show.
So, lots of texts. Spent a good chunk of time reading them. This reads, trade no, July 1, yes. And the only reason I would say think about trade is because you get into UFA, and now you're looking at other markets with better tax situations. Or maybe you're looking at playing in this city, or this team you feel is closer to winning a cup. All of a sudden, it's a whole lot less of a guarantee, or it's a whole lot less of a sure thing. Whereas if you have the idea that he'd like to sign and he wouldn't mind coming here, then you get all that time to work out a deal and you get that extra year to really convince him. That would be the reason why trading and getting out in front of the queue would be why I'd lean that way. Sean says, Mikko Rantanen, yes, absolutely. And there's a connection with Kadri. This says that would be adding another albatross contract rather than drafting their own superstar. Classic Flames. Matt and Cochran says it wasn't supposed to be a rental when the Hurricanes traded for him. Feels like it would cost too much for a trade for a guy that feels wishy-washy for two teams already. That's kind of where you are, hey?
Well, I don't like the idea of giving up assets. And what would it cost out of Carolina? Like, would you be willing to sacrifice a Coronado and a high pick? That's a big gamble I'd be not willing to take on a team that's going through a retool.
Now, what if you had a guarantee he was going to sign?
That changes the conversation a little bit, but I still would just sit back and go, if he's guaranteeing me he'll sign then, I understand that there's months between the end of the season and free agency.
Yeah.
But if I could pitch to him like, hey, we're going to be a lot more of a contender sooner, faster, if you sign with us, and we don't have to. But you can't have that conversation because tampering. So, unless Carolina opens it up and then you don't come to an agreement on a trade, I don't know.
Derek in Edmonton, out on Rantanen for a trade. A move like that should be focused on a center only at this point in the timeline. He's also 28 and a left shot. That's kind of where you are.
His shot doesn't bother me because he's just elite.
Jason in Kelowna, if Flames are going big game hunting, which I'm not opposed to, it has to be a center and a center only, and in Connie's age window. I just don't know. Specifically in free agency, that doesn't exist.
No.
Maybe a trade for a Cousins or something like that could still materialize. This says, if he's serious about signing and playing here, yes. We know he can score, and they need more of those. Bill, hell to the no. Not sure who they'd even send. Maybe if he wants to sign a Matthews deal times 4 years, I think 8 years is too long. Maybe for a select few players in this league, I'd pay the long contract. That comes from Bill. Well, for me, Rantanen is one of the select players in the league that I would. This says, from Mike, I'd wait and see if he makes free agency rather than give up what the Flames have. This says, why would Carolina trade him before the playoffs? They got him for their playoff run. Well, I mean, Elliot Friedman doesn't bring that stuff up on national television unless he knows there's a very, very large chance that could happen. If it comes from Elliot Friedman, and Elliot Friedman is kind of like, well, maybe I'm here. Like, you know that that's legit.
He's not throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks.
He doesn't do that. This from Nathan. Yes, oh my God, yes. Seeing Rantanen in a Blasty jersey would be beautiful, but I'd rather a player like Marner if that ever becomes a possibility. What I've heard is that Marner is not interested, and I could be wrong or this could change, and obviously, but I've heard from a few different people that Marner isn't super stoked on playing in another Canadian market if it's not Toronto. So that's, and I have heard that from a number of people I trust. Robin Coldale, until now, Rantanen has not shown he can be a 100-point player without McKinnon.
Well, I mean, that's your true. Sample size is 7 games.
True.
That's unfair a little bit, I would say.
I
mean, completely fair because it's factually correct, but like, guy's played his whole career sans 7 games with Nathan McKinnon.
Boy's not trying to be argumentative, but to Vic's point, how is this different than renewing Anderson's contract? Anderson, when it starts, will be 30, not much different than Rantanen. They want to get younger, not older, so trading for 28-year-olds on the wrong side of 30 is not a good idea, especially the money he wants to command.
What I would say is
doesn't keep you from getting younger, though, if you're, you know, depending on what you're giving up. It doesn't necessarily keep you from getting younger at the same time.
Well, Anderson doesn't cost you any assets to acquire. Now, if they're talking about pure unrestricted free agency and going that route, there's also roughly, and I don't know what the ask is from Rasmus Anderson, but we're talking about roughly $6 million a year difference, which is not insignificant. And it's a homegrown guy.
Yes. I'm just going to go look something up before I read this text. Okay. This says, Pat, did you get this idea from Brad Treliving's book about how to ruin a rebuild by throwing your chips in too soon? It's similar to me to when the Flames took a real run at John Tavares. They were never a contender to bring him in, but the Flames took a real run at signing John Tavares in the summer of 2018. He ended up signing in Toronto, as we know. But they took a real run there. Every once in a while, a player like this comes available. And I just, and he may not come available still. But I just think that there are certain times that you can't miss an opportunity, even if it doesn't fit what your blueprint might look like or what the outside blueprint that you as a fan or me as a broadcaster or whatever the hell I am, that I've written up. That's not what I am. Rantanen, and yes, me, no.
You're a Hall of Famer in my books.
Tyson from Champion, I think we wait until free agency. They don't lose any assets that way. Take your chances. If he truly wants to be here, it would shave off a year on an aging player as well. He's a big body. Not sure the back end of the contract to look good. That's just my opinion. Somebody suggests he'll re-sign with Colorado.
That would be the real plot twist, hey?
Oh,
goes
my.
Back to Colorado after they gain assets and become a more competitive team.
Can you imagine? Tim says, question, guys, why would Rantanen want to sign in Calgary if he doesn't want to sign in Carolina? And be honest with ourselves here. I don't intimately know what's going on in his head, so I can't really answer that question. Do I think it is the most likely of scenarios that he signs here? No, I don't. I mean, usually the Flames don't land the big fish free agent, but that doesn't mean that we can't talk about it. Justin in Deer Run. I like Rantanen as a free agent. Overpay by $1.5 million. Who the hell cares? Use the first round picks to trade for a first line center. What else we got here at 960, 960? I'm just trying to read a few of them. Tim Moose Jaw, wouldn't it be a real kick in the groin if Mikko signed back in Colorado this summer?
Honestly, that might be my most favorite outcome.
Oh, it would definitely be the heel turn of all heel turns. He'd be booed every time he played in Carolina from here on out.
Sure, he's not too worried about that.
This says many experts are questioning how big of a star he is. Numbers inflated playing with McKinnon. Again, we've got a sample size of 7.
Again, just to reiterate, since 2021-22, 368 points. 5th in goals over that span, 6th in points over that span. Like, that's elite. That's elite of elite.
Derek and Red Deer wonders if they could swap Kadri or Huberdeau in such a deal, and I can't sit here and tell you that that wouldn't be a part of it.
I would assume that Carolina would, if they're doing a deal at the deadline, they want help now. They don't want futures, would be my read on their situation. They want an asset that would help them win now.
This is, wouldn't acquiring him be the same as acquiring Huberdeau, a winger with potential of a 100-point season? We've seen how that turned out in Calgary before. Our boy Dylan and Revy says I'd go after him in free agency. Check out his face-off numbers. He's played plenty of center in the past when McKinnon gets hurt, which has happened. If all of a sudden we're talking about Rantanen down the middle for the team? This reads, yes, let's gut the rebuild and continue the mucky middle BS. They aren't close to winning. Standard Flames, best team to not make the playoffs and worst team to make it. This says, this is a retool, not a rebuild. There's a difference, a huge difference, and I agree, which is why I'm a little more open to having this conversation than if we're talking about like what San Jose is trying to do right now. This says, a trade would likely need a first. Zeri or Coronado, plus a prospect, too rich for me, even with a contract guarantee. And this says, just my opinion, but I think Rantanen isn't that good without McKinnon. And again, I don't know how the hell we know at this point. It has been a 7-game sample size to this point.
And there's a lot to be said for a new player in a new location after spending his entire career in one organization. I think Calgary Flames and Calgary Flames fans can relate to that pretty significantly. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Well, that was fun. It lit up the text line like I thought it might. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That was a fun conversation. We're coming at you this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Vickers along with you on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. It's a Monday, which means it's time to check in with the Calgary Wranglers. Wranglers fell 4-1 in Coachella Valley to kick off a road trip Saturday night, then bounce back with a 2-1 shootout loss to Ontario Sunday. One more game on this trip before they return home. Wranglers now sit 29-16-4. That has them neck and neck with Ontario for top spot in the Pacific, but right now second in the AHL's Pacific Division. Let's say hello to assistant coach Marty Zelina on this Monday. Mr. Zelina, it's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing awesome. How about you guys?
Doing well, doing well. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. And it's a pleasure to catch up with Marty, the coach, once again as well.
That's right. Intern coach.
Right. Intern coach for now. But it reminds me of the days when you're coming in the hot stove every three or four games.
Absolutely. Good old days.
Good old days, yeah. How would you sum up the weekend for your group, Marty?
You know what, we're to be honest with you, I got to be, like, we're just trying to stay above water. I mean, losing a lot of key people on our back end, lost Solo and then Klapka up front. We don't have Huntsie up front right now, as what I was expecting, I believe, today. So we got a lot of call up and try to manage the game the best we can and play what we have. And I got to give a lot of credit. Yesterday's game in Ontario, facing a really big, strong opponent, guys responded well, pushed it to overtime and the shootout and lost in the shootout. But a lot of credit, the guys battled hard and so on. But it does it makes it challenging for our young guys to be called up. There's no question about it. We're so happy when they do.
Yeah.
But it makes it challenging down here.
And to that end, I mean, you take a look at the month of February. It's definitely been a little bit more of a challenge for your group to score. Is there anything, like, with the group right now, knowing what you just said, is there anything you can do to kind of rectify that, or does the group kind of need to just lean into being more of a low-scoring group down the stretch here?
You know, it's about checking and really when we get a scoring chance, it's to capitalize on them. And to be honest with you, we need some secondary scoring right now. I mean, we could always count on Rory Cairns and Huntsy and William Bish and so on. But we need guys like Parker Bell to step up, and even William to step up even more, and Lucas Siona second year to do a little more, Sam Monzik and so on. If that happens, our goaltending has been solid. We've been good defensively in most games, so we just need to find a way to get more goals.
You mentioned Rory Cairns, and he was such a great story when he got his recall, was pretty productive up here in the NHL, but now back with the Wranglers. How has he looked? Tell us about Rory's game since he's rejoined your group.
He's really good. He's a driving force up front with Dryden on. Those two guys and Martin Furt, they do a lot of damage, not only on 5-on-5, but on the power play. Very, very effective. Rory's such a smart player. Sees the well, next play mentality. He sees it and makes it happen. So we're really lucky to have him. He's been, since he's been back, he's been a pleasure to have.
How, you know, you going back to your playing career or even your time and your development role that you've been in for the last number of years and now coaching with the Wranglers on an interim basis, like how can that first recall spur on a player when they return to the American League? What can that do for a guy like Cairns in terms of his confidence in his game and what he brings to the group when he rejoins the American League squad?
Hey, you know what? It's massive. I mean, I give a lot of credit to the Flames and Craig Conroy to call up and not being afraid to call up young guys and giving them a chance. And what it does to their confidence and knowing that they're knocking on the door, and if they stay with it and they keep applying themselves and working hard, that it's just a matter of time it's going to happen. So it does a lot, and they come back, and they're more assertive, they're more confident, become more of a leader for our group, which is beneficial for us, and it's all in all, it's really good, and it's really really good to see our young guys being called up and getting a chance.
What is the message to Rory from your group as he's back with him? What's kind of the message from this coaching staff as he tries to work his way back to the NHL?
You know what? It's just stay with it. Obviously, we're right now. We're going to count on him. We're going to lean on him to get more out of him. Offensively, there's no question about it. But being more of a voice, he's got to be a driver while he's here. And when he does that, you know, the Flames will look at him. You know, it was just before we left. I can't remember, we were playing at home, but everybody was there, Ryan Leska and Craig Conroy and so on. So they're watching all the time. They're seeing how they're developing and improving. And for our young guys, for Rory, he's just got to stay the path and keep driving our team here.
We're chatting with Marty Jelena of the Calgary Wranglers, assistant coach joining us every Monday on Flames Talk. We take a look in at the number one affiliate of the Flames. Marty joining us here on Flames Talk on a Monday. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers. Vix?
Marty, you mentioned needing to find some depth scoring with some of the absences you have. One of those players is Adam Klapka. I'm just curious, you've watched this player closely in your development role. Where is he now in his game versus maybe 2.5 seasons ago when he first joined the organization?
You know what? He's come a long ways. I give him a lot of credit. The first time, I got to be honest with you, he came on the ice with us, and it was summertime. And summertime, don't expect too much. But he was far from being in the NHL. But he worked at his game. He's always one of the last one leaving the ice, working on deflection, working on his shot. Came to me a month ago and said, Marty, I gotta work on my foot speed. What can we do? Like, he's always trying to improve his game to find a way to make it happen. And for a big guy, he can move pretty good when he gets going. He's got good hands. He's not afraid. So his game's come a long ways. There's another guy. I mean, it's hard to find guys that are that big that can play and clap if if needed needed be, could drop the gloves too. So he could do it all. So he's a big asset for our franchise.
Where does he need to continue developing in order to be a full-time NHLer?
You know, it's foot speed. He's got to keep pushing and improving that department. Because when he gets going, he's fine. When he has the puck, he's fine. The game at the next level from the AHL, which is, you know, from a junior player getting to the AHL, it's a big jump. But the NHL is elite, and he's got to keep working on his foot speed.
Is that mechanics, or is that just always being mindful of at the NHL level? You always have to be moving your feet, otherwise you'll end up out of position.
You know what? The game is so fast. Defensemen and players will close so rapidly on you. So you need to be moving at all time and creating space for yourself and with the puck. And it's challenging, and even more so when you're 6'7", 6'8". Looks like everything is just closing quickly. But he's done a good job. He's been working on it, and he's getting better at it.
You mentioned you're getting some reliable scoring from players like Cairns, Hunt, who's currently out, Ferk. You mentioned William Stromgren in that as well. I'm just curious the steps you've seen him take this year to become a more consistent pro.
You know what? He had a really good start, really being noticed by our NHL team. And last month and a half, he has not been himself. But still working and pushing and trying to make it happen, but just not in the same that he was earlier in the year. So he's working on his game. He's finding his game. He's been better, working harder, playing harder of late. That's what we need from Willie when he plays with a little bit of a swag and energy and a little more physical, very noticeable. He's got a skill set that we don't have a lot of down here. He can see the ice well, can move, and he's got some skills, so we just need to put it all together.
And then on Marty Ferk, another goal this weekend. He's on a bit of a roll. What are you observing in his game, and how valuable a veteran has he been to your group?
He's been incredible. Not only the way he prepares himself, always one of the first one at the rink, working on his game, what he brings. He's just a good pro, but on the ice, he makes it happen. If you look at his stats during the season, he was struggling, and now he's one of the top scorers, so I give him a lot of credit. He's got an incredible shot, finds ways to get it to the net quickly, and he's got a heavy, probably one of the heaviest shots I've seen in the AHL this year. So he's got a lot of tools. We're lucky to have him. We need some leadership here. We lost Jared Tenorti earlier in the month, and that hurts. So we need an older guy that have been around a long time to kind of step up and take that leadership role.
Few more with Marty Jelena of the Calgary Wranglers on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. Marty, it's been, we talked to you a few weeks ago after, you know, you had gotten back behind the bench. It's been a lot of moving parts on that coaching staff with Trent moving to the NHL and Joe being promoted, and Joe was away for a few games as he was getting the eye surgery. And so Brett Sutter in his first year as a coach, he's head coaching. How have you observed all the moving parts with this coaching staff this year?
It's been challenging, but everybody's been stepping up and doing what needed to be done to make it work. And I gave a lot of credit to Brett Sutter. When Joe left, he filled in and he looked like a head coach. He's ready to do it. So he's got the demeanor about it. Joe Chiarelli has been doing an incredible job since the beginning of the season. He's got a great connection with all the players. He's been here for a long time, so that was an easy transition. And on top, I believe everybody's doing well. So everybody stepped up, and we had to. We've been resilient and finding ways to getting some win along the way.
You still enjoying being back behind the bench? Has it been like, I know that you were pretty stoked to get back there and do it for a little bit. How are you enjoying it, even though I know the weekend didn't go the way you wanted as a group?
I do love it, Pat. To be honest with you, I mean, working with a lot of guys I work with in the past, but working on the backhand with the defenseman has been, it's been a high opener, and it's been good. The guys that we have back there have been so much fun to work with. They're eager to make it happen. Solo is one of them. Brew has been really good and moving along and showing the poise and the skill with the puck. And Grush has been really good. He's getting better and better. And one of my favorites is Kuzi. He just every game is not flashy, but he gets it done. And they're eager to make it happen. They're eager to get to the NHL, and they're willing to put the work in. It's been a lot of fun.
Everybody, like Kuznetsov was practicing with the group, and I know he's with you right now, and Solovyov's with the Flames, but. Boy, it sure does feel like Kuznetsov's knocking on the door for some good NHL time too here, hey?
You know, what's incredible about him is he's a big guy. He's a specimen in the gym. Yesterday, and you could play him 28 minutes and he's not going to bend. He's just incredible. He's so fit. Yesterday we had a PK. And we were short. Like we had one of our defensemen on the bench. One was getting some equipment repair. He stayed the whole 2 minutes, and it was no problem for him. So he's been a pleasure. He's learning to play harder. He's checking well. He's so fast. And he's got a good stick. His stick's been really good of late. I'm a big fan of Kuzi. I think he's got another level, but he's getting there.
Last one for you, Marty. You've got San Diego on Wednesday before you come back home. And I know that, you know, that didn't like the way it started, battled hard to get the point on Sunday. And now you've got a San Diego group in their building. I guess just tell us about this challenge to wrap up three games in California.
You know what? Every game is finding ways right now. It'll be nice. We're expecting to have Tyson Barron in the lineup next game. So if that happens, he's going to bring some stability and some leadership there and some help. There's no question about it. And every game right now we're approaching is we got to check hard. We got to find ways to score. We're facing some opponents, San Diego, maybe not as much as Ontario or Coachella, but still a good team. So we're going to have to be at our best, and we're going to have to be big in goal. Cooley's been really good for us. Iggy was good last game, but Cooley's been good. So we're going to need to check hard, getting some key save and having some different guys stepping up and scoring some goals.
Great to catch up with you as always, Marty. You be well. Good luck on Wednesday in San Diego, and we'll see you when you're back in town. Thanks for doing this as always, hey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
You as well. Marty's the best. Marty Jelena, Flames Development and Calgary Wranglers interim assistant coach, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. What were we going to say?
That's about the only way I can catch up with Marty, because if it's a foot race or anything, not a chance in the world.
Yeah, he's usually going to beat you there.
That's why I was kind of giggling off the hop, because I'm like, that's literally the only way.
Yeah, not a lot of body fat.
He could pull away on a stationary bike.
Yeah, he's kept in shape. Yeah, post playing days.
The Eliminator.
So it's Wednesday night. Calgary's in San Diego, to wrap up a three-game road trip. And then Friday, they're back on home ice as they will welcome Abbotsford on Friday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And that for the Wranglers will kick off a four-game homestand. They'll play Friday, Saturday against Abbotsford, and then Tuesday, Wednesday next week at home to Coachella Valley. And that game on Wednesday, March 5th, will be here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, Sandra, Maddie, and the crew will have Coachella and Calgary on Wednesday, March 5th. That's the next time you'll hear the Wranglers on the radio. But the Wranglers will play Wednesday night this week on the road in San Diego before returning home Friday to kick off a four-game homestand. That's how we start to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Our outstanding producers, Shan Vergie and Cameron Hughes. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to calgarylockandsafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.